Hello, this is Tony, your co-host, for episode 24, Revealing Who the Caregiver Is. I am your co-host with Simone, whom I've been friends with for a number of years, and finally, we get to share with the entire world the stories that Simone has. The last time that we were here, that both of us were here, we were giving updates about the lawsuit and the settlement agreements and that whole emotional roller coaster then. And of course, Simone also did a little segment to update you what was going on with her life afterwards. And we apologize for missing basically almost a whole month. But we did have a lot of emotional issues to get through. No, not issues, just...
Your girl's been anxious.
Yeah, she's been anxious and depressed and going through things. And then, of course, the caregiver has not made this easy at all, even after the settlement agreement was signed. Like, somebody wanted to renege in a lot of things. And that's what we're primarily we're going to talk about, is like all these issues, and then at least give the first name of the person that has been fucking up certain people's lives. And hopefully everybody, this is something I've been discussing too with some people in the real estate world, which I'm involved in, is get a trust. Do not leave things in probate. Meaning,
yes,
wills do not mean anything.
It's
just a wish list. Get it in a legal entity, such as a trust, whether revocable or irrevocable. Get with a lawyer to learn what that is. Go to YouTube University. Tons of free content for that. Put everything in a trust. Make your life insurance the beneficiary of the trust. And so this is the trust that receives all that money tax-free. And it goes to the people that you want your worldly possessions to go to. But anyways, I'll get off my high horse.
No, that's like my new high horse too, is like, how do we talk about these issues and educate people? So I'm actually in the process of, everyone knows, like, I compete like in beauty pageants, right? Because like, I'm from the South. What else? I mean, what else does a Southern girl do with her time, right? And my pageant platform, I'm still like working out all the kinks with it, but it's basically, my platform's about, how do we prepare people for end of life, like legal matters, right? How do we educate and get the word out there that trusts are the way to go? How to like avoid letting unethical people around your loved one at the end of their life. So I think there's a lot of like education to be had in this area, because we're all uncomfortable talking about death, especially when it comes to our loved ones. Like, I know my dad always avoided talking about death, right? Whereas my mom is like the polar opposite. She's like, hey, when I die, I'd like a Costco cake, a white one. And she'll tell me like where she has cash hidden and like all sorts of like security deposits. She's like, hey, this is here. I'd like a Costco sheet cake, like at my memorial or whatever. So she gives me like very clear instructions, and we have frank conversations about death and dying. But my dad was obviously the opposite. So there were a lot of places where, had even he had been more educated, I feel very confident that if my dad had been aware of trusts, he would have gone in that direction. Unfortunately, his wishes were completely blown to smithereens by having a very unethical attorney and a very greedy, evil caregiver. So that's where that's at. But yeah, so sorry, we've been taking a pause. I learned a new thing last night. I learned that there's this, I know, right? So I learned there's this thing in the legal world called basically the grief cycle of ending litigation. Like, you go through an actual grief process, and it's like has some quite a bit of scientific merit behind it, right? That because you've just had this huge thing in your life, right? Like this traumatic experience, and it's starting to wind down, right? So I've had like, you know, it's been very up and down, but like for the most part, I've been okay through this process. But like the last like month, I've been really upset, like really sad and like really anxious. And I'm just like, why do I feel this way? Like it's at the end. Like I should be feeling like, you know, like a sense of release or, you know, happiness, who knows, right? Like I feel like I should be feeling other things, but instead I just felt really like upset. And then someone alerted me to, hey, you're going through like litigation, like grief cycles. And I was like, oh, yes, I am.
I did not know that was actual thing. Like, of course, we hear like the grief cycle and like Anybody who's been with a narcissist know there's like the grief cycle after being with the narcissist. Like you think of the good times and you think of the times that, of course, the horrible times too. And you go through that grieving process. And of course, with like a loved one passing away or like transitioning in life from one state to another, like a baby to a child or a young adult, like a teenager to a young adult, like there's a grief cycle for that, right?
Yep.
But litigation leave cycle, that's different. That's interesting.
Yep. Didn't know about it. And then I was like, wow, that makes so much sense. Because I have felt like I'm not like I'm losing my mind, but I'm like, why do I feel so ungrounded? And like, I'm experiencing so much anxiety. And like, you know, I cry and I feel really upset. And I'm like, is this because of like my dad? And it didn't feel quite related to him. But obviously it is in some ways, because the litigation is about him. So I'm just like, damn, like what's been going on? But in terms of the lawsuit, like, yes, we signed a settlement agreement. And so then we had to basically send a letter to Mel. I mean, it hasn't been sent yet, to be clear. A letter to MetLife saying you can release the funds like in this way, right? And that caregiver wanted me to sign a letter saying that I withdraw all allegations and I like confirm or whatever that she did not change any beneficiary designations and did not commit any fraud. So that actually goes against what's in our settlement agreement. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. And my attorneys, who I have a lot to say about my attorneys, and I'll just say it. I think this case was very much out of their scope. I feel like they, at first, they were pretty gung-ho about it, because I feel like at that time it was within their scope. But I remember telling them, like, you're seeing the tip of the iceberg. Anything with my dad is going to have like a lot more. So are you sure you can handle that? And they're like, oh yeah, this is our area of expertise, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's out of their scope. And I am not happy with them. I feel like they're amazing attorneys for like things that are within their scope. But I have paid $30,000 to basically
holy shit,
not get much, you know what I mean? Like not get where I wanted to be with this, essentially. So when Chevron got involved, my attorneys admitted like, oh, we never worked with Chevron before. That's when they should have recommended me to a firm who could actually handle it. But they decided to keep the case. And I was like, I would have been open and willing if they said you actually should go to this firm, I would have done it. But they kept assuring me that they could do it. They could do it. Well, guess what? They could not. And so now they're in a place where they're kind of over it, right? They 100% believe the caregiver did a lot of sketch things. They have been really wonderful about validating me about that and just validating the whole thing. But yeah, I feel like they're bullying me now to sign things that I don't want to sign. So I got, you know, really, I had to get aggressive over email with my attorney. I was like, no, I'm not signing this. Like, what are my options? Like, I'm not signing this. Like, y'all can go fuck yourself. I'm not signing this. And then finally, she said, well, okay, we can tell them that this needs to be taken out or we'll go in front of a judge. And I'm like, fine. I said, it's probably about time we went in front of a fucking judge anyway, don't you think? You know? And so I think my attorney has been terrified for whatever reason to go in front of a judge. And so she told the opposite side, hey, take this shit out or we're going in front of a judge. Guess what? They took that shit out.
Yeah.
Because it didn't make any sense, right? And so then now there's another sentence I don't like. And now my attorney is currently bullying me to sign it no matter what, because I'm like, can you change it to this? Can you change it to that? I'm not categorically like, oh my God, I need this sentence removed. I'm like, can the language be changed to this or that? Because that actually fits with what we actually agreed upon in the settlement agreement. Because as it stands, it's not congruent with the settlement agreement, right? And I don't want to sign something that says, basically, they want me to sign saying that I withdraw any formal complaints I made to Chevron. Well, guess what? I never made any formal complaints to Chevron. And then my attorney tried to like gaslight me and say, well, you did. I have phone recordings of you talking to someone saying, you know, she changed beneficiary designations. And I'm like, Oh, you mean those Fidelity phone calls? Well, guess what? That's not Chevron, babe. You don't have Chevron phone calls. You don't have shit. You don't have anything that actually proves categorically that I submitted any complaints to Chevron, because the reality is I never did. And the reason why was because I was so careful with Chevron because of the whistleblower, right? I already have the documentation that she changed beneficiary designations. Why would I blow that up and go to Chevron and like submit a formal complaint without going through like an attorney? You know what I mean? Like, I have so much ammo against Chevron. Why would I just take a run at them, like, you know, on my own? Like, it doesn't make any sense, right? And so I'm
No.
like, I'm not signing saying I made complaints when I actually didn't. So once again, she's bullying me into signing it, and I'm just digging my heels in. And I tried to say, well, then tell her to take it out. We'll go in front of a judge. And then she's like, I'm refused to go in front of a judge for this. And I'm like, okay, well, then I refuse to sign it. So.
Yeah.
Like,
And at this point, you're like, okay,
what are we gonna do
if you're
then?
refusing,
Because,
then I will find other representation who will.
well, the problem is, like, it's so expensive. I'd have to like magically, well, I guess I could, you know, like it's possible, but it's like I don't want to have to pay like a $12,000 to $15,000 retainer just to have another attorney go in front of a judge over one sentence, right?
Yeah,
So
absolutely. And catch them up on all everything that you've been doing
yeah, they
for
have
like
to read
past 2 or 3
everything.
years. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just, I don't know what's going to happen. I know that they're bullying me to sign it, and I know I'm saying like fuck all y'all. Like, so I don't know what's going to happen. Like, technically, we did sign the settlement agreement. Something has to happen, but yeah, like I'm not signing saying I did something when I did not do it, and they cannot prove I did anything because it doesn't exist because I didn't do it. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't do it. So I'm just like, y'all are crazy. Like the caregiver, my attorneys, like y'all, like bless your hearts. That's all I got. Bless your hearts. Because this is crazy. And then in terms of like the other lawsuit, which I don't want to
Other
share.
lawsuit.
Oh yeah, I don't. Well, there was a couple because MetLife sued me, remember?
Oh, that's right. We haven't got too deep into delving into that one yet, but
There's not much to delve into. Basically, they sued me and the caregiver for not having reached an agreement like in a timely fashion. But the funny part about that is my attorney tried to threaten me with that, like, oh well, if you don't sign this, MetLife is going to pursue their lawsuit with you. Let them. Like, have you, do you not understand that this whole thing could burn to the fucking ground and I don't really care that much? Like, I'm not going to sign things I don't agree with, right? So I'm like, then let them. Like she could make this easier on herself and just go back to the attorney, other attorney, and say, hey, Simone doesn't want this line. Why can't you just do that?
And it's MetLife's problem that they allowed somebody to change a beneficiary after the fact that somebody died and didn't re go back and investigate it internally and be like, oh shit. Oh
Exactly.
shit.
And
Oh
here's the
shit.
thing, even if we send this letter to MetLife where it's like, okay, release the funds, MetLife could clap back and say, well, hey, the caregiver's son is probably fraudulently listed as a son. They know he's not my dad's son, but then, you know, there's like my sister. So there's other things that could happen with this. MetLife could just reject that letter.
Oh yeah,
And just
absolutely.
say, you know, there's other people at this table. What do, you know, are they signing off? You know, like what is that? So
That's how insurance companies make money, is because they make money by not paying out their insurance that they're supposed to give out.
exactly. And so this may not even solve it. So there's that. It's just been a lot of back and forth. And like I said, I know my attorneys believe me. They validated me. They've never gone wrong with that. I just don't understand. Like, I'm really paying $30,000 to be like verbally bullied over email like every day. Like, that's
Oh gosh.
the
Yeah.
vibe.
This entire time they've been your legal therapist, and now they're just like, we're done.
And I get that, but no one's more over it than I am. Like, I'm the victim here. Like, I normally don't say that because I don't want to be perceived as the victim, but my God, it was my dad. He was killed by this lady. I've been through hell. Like, I'm the fucking victim. So, like, don't bully me. Like,
Come at me, bro. You're going to face the wrath of sweet little Simone.
I mean, I am a Scorpio, so, but yep. It's just like, I'm like, this is so incredible to me. And to me, it's just like, to my attorneys, it's like, why is it so hard to just turn around, send a fucking email to the other attorney and say, hey, can we have this line removed? Or, hey, can it say this? Like, why is that so hard? Like, why are you like defending what they want when you know it deviates?
And it's not legally like, yeah. Agreement? And it's for something illegal that. One, something that's not there. And then two,
exactly.
Something that is for a complaint that is pointing out something that happened illegally.
Exactly. So
that
it's
is
just
both
like,
federal, state, and so many other crimes.
Exactly. So it's just like, what is that? Like, that's really sus to me. And I know it's because they're just exhausted. They're tired, you know, whatever. But I don't care. This is my life. You know, this has been mm-hmm. something I've been fighting for years now. So like, you better care.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's an email. It's a sentence to send. Like, I don't understand why that's so hard, but apparently it's, you know, fucking Sisyphus hauling a big ass rock up and down a mountain every day. Like, that's what she thinks sending an email is. So.
Yep. Oh, gosh.
Sorry to bring Greek.
Some Greek mythology. Yeah, mythology. Sorry. Yes.
Sorry. that's when you know I'm really going off the rails.
Oh, absolutely. So, the name.
I've been so excited for this because maybe it's the grief cycle because I felt a lot of anger. And then I look at myself and there's so many times in this podcast where I've said, like, I want to protect the integrity of my case and I want to protect the integrity of the people involved, even though they don't have any integrity. I've been very good about that. Like, I have to give myself like a little like shout out, like, way to go. Like, Simone, for trying to be as polite about an extremely impolite situation, right? But I'm at the point where it's like, this person has wreaked hell on my life for the last couple of years. And I can only imagine the fucking horrible things she did to my dad. Like, yeah. I said, 100% believe she killed him for his money, 100%. So she is like a disgusting human being. And so I'm at the point where like people need to know who she is because she could do this again, right? She could do this to a child. She could do this to another vulnerable adult. So it's like, I feel like at this point, and I've always felt this, I just haven't. And I think I have said it at some points along the way, like, yeah, I'll probably at some point, because I do feel like there's an ethical element to like warn people about this person, right?
Oh yeah. Or because people like them.
Or people, yeah, because they're crazy. So I'm not giving her last name because I am trying to avoid a fourth, fifth lawsuit. I've lost count, even though she wouldn't have any grounds for it because all this is like public record. Like you could literally go on the Washington State Court website and type everything and see everything. So her name is Nadine. And I know she is, I think, a Washington State native, not sure. She's 71 years old. So she's too old to be acting like this. Old enough to know better. And yeah, so Nadine is the caregiver who probably murdered my dad for his money and embezzled his estate and stole all his money, changed beneficiary designations. What else? There's like a litany of things.
Committed fraud, committed yes. perjury.
Yes.
And so we don't forget also who is also the very first wife for your father and was part of a cult back in San Francisco in the 70s.
Yes.
And fucked Italian hitchhiker and yeah. got pregnant by him. Yeah. While her dad was overseas stationed in Germany with the U.S. Army.
I found the Italian hitchhiker on Facebook and I swear to God, I'm going to DM him this shit because he has kids and I'm going to be like, you got to protect your assets, my dude. This lady's going to come after you.
Dude.
I'm going to. I've actually been plotting this for like a long time, ever since I found him.
Mm-hmm.
And I have him, actually, here's my little trick. I have him blocked on Facebook, so he can't block me, right? Like, if it ever came up. So it's like, yeah, I am the one in control. So when I want to DM him, I can unblock him real quick, send my message. This person's a crazy murderer who's going to try to steal all your shit and like embezzle your estate and steal from your actual children. And then like block him again.
And you should send him this podcast. Be like, hey, this is what happened to my dad who she killed. And here's a story. It is, if he is able to read English still, right?
Like, I think so. He's likely like, he's like yeah. in New Jersey. So
oh, okay.
He's like a Jersey yeah. Italian.
Got it. Guido. Yeah. And here's like the 24 episodes of the entire story.
Yeah.
And he's be like, fuck.
Yeah. What's going on? Like, my dude, when you let yourself like get picked up by her, like, that's like a death sentence, even though that was like back in the 70s. Like,
Gotta be
careful, because he does have children, and I'm literally worried about what she, you know, and he's married and his wife seems very lovely, but mm-hmm. I'm like, his family seems very nice. And I'm just like, yo, y'all need to know like who's around you, because this person is very unsafe.
Like, yeah. And has a biological child with you and could
yeah.
raise a specter, even though this dude is probably mm-hmm. what, in his 50s now.
Oh, he's probably... The Italian hitchhiker is like in his 70s.
Yeah. Well, I was saying his son. Like,
yeah. He's in his 50s.
Yeah.
These people are too damn old to be acting this way. Like, who raised y'all? Like,
not Southern families.
No, clearly not. Like, good Lord. So, yeah, Nadine, she, I mean, I don't really know her. You know, I never met her. And all I know about her is information I have gathered since all this started. Like, I didn't even know her last name until like 2 months after my dad died. Like, I did not know who this person was. So everything I do know is like, thanks to Google or, you know, whatever, or
your sleuthing skills.
Yeah, or it's from, you know, my aunt, because lest us not forget, Nadine stole my aunt's husband from her, you know? So it's like, I know some things, but I've never met her. So there you have it, everyone. Nadine is the person who did a lot of like really nasty shit to my dad and is doing nasty shit to me. I'm cussing a lot this episode. I'm sorry. It's not very.
You're just getting all this grief out in this way right now.
It's my litigation grief cycle. I'm like in rage mode now because I really am frustrated with my attorneys, and I just don't understand why they can't send like a simple like email. Like, because if the answer is like no, and it keeps going back no, 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 then I might be more compelled to sign something just to move it forward, right? But to just shut me down without even like trying, that's what I don't get. And then they try to make up this weird bullshit about how like, oh, well, it's going to cost you money. More money? I've already spent $30,000. What's like $200 more to send another fucking email? Like, can you explain that to me? Because I'm $30,000 deep into this and y'all have done basically nothing. That's like the hard part, is I've had other attorneys review this case. So like, I'm really lucky to have a good network of attorneys. A lot of them are like in Louisiana and Texas. One of my old attorneys from the bigamy era, I love calling it the bigamy era. Like Taylor Swift has like her eras. You know, like the red era. I've got the bigamy era.
Which we have discussed quite in depth.
Yeah. So
quite in depth.
One of my attorneys from the bigamy era reviewed this case, and she was like, and she's so nice, right? And she's like, Simone, like, what have your attorneys like done like besides this? And I'm like, what you're seeing is all they have done. And she's like, oh, like she's being very nice about it. But I know, she's like, what the hell? And like, the thing is, I work with attorneys a lot. Like, I consider myself pretty fluent in working with attorneys and just like dealing with them, because I've been interacting with attorneys since my dad left when I was 14 and my mom had to get her first like divorce lawyer. Right. So it's like, I know how to navigate attorneys, and I know what I'm seeing is not normal. Right. I know what I'm experiencing is not normal. So like, even what I was telling, and it's funny, where my attorneys are located, my mom's, she had like six different divorce attorneys, right? one of them is like literally in the office building right next to mine. And I had him look at the case and he was like, oh, what the hell are they doing? I'm like, that's the $1 million question. And he's known me since I was probably about, I don't know. I think my mom got him when I was like 16, 17, mm-hmm. you know, so he's known me pretty long term. And he's just like, yikes, Simone, like your dad is just the gift that keeps on giving. And I'm like, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, guy. Yeah.
He is. He is. So yeah, that's kind of it in the way of like lawsuit updates. There's not many. Aside from, yeah, MetLife, like that one hasn't really gone anywhere. The other lawsuit, I'll share more information about that at a later date, but I've just been working with the attorneys and they've been pretty cool. They seem pretty on top of it. So great. Yeah. So I probably have a couple more lawsuits in my future. I'm just, you know, I feel like with so many lawsuits, like I'm just ready to be on like a Real Housewife franchise because I have like an eccentric background and I have like multiple lawsuits. So I'm kind of like. Yeah.
And several investigations, which we can't talk about either. So.
Yeah, true. Those investigations are still all going on. Adult Protective Services, the police, like they're still. So it's like, yes, if we send this letter to MetLife, the lawsuit is kind of done. And it kind of is in a way, like we signed a settlement agreement, like it kind of is done, but it's overall, like it's not done. Like Nadine has so much to face still. And there's agencies that I have submitted reports to that she doesn't even know about. My attorneys yep. don't know about. Like, I mean, Washington State Insurance Commission, Texas Insurance Commission, SEC, FTC, like you name it, I have hunted it down and filed a report against her. So, you know,
and or like, the entities that she's been engaging with in a fraudulently submitted information to them. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I even like the funeral home that my dad was at even filed a report with them saying she's, you know, I don't know who this person is. She won't give me my dad's ashes. She's crazy. She embezzled his estate. You know, she changed beneficiary designations. So like, there's so much out there that she may not even know about.
Yep. And she's just reveling in it and she doesn't give a shit because she's 71 years old.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Like, I really do struggle to feel compassion for her in many ways because I feel like she's done so many horrible things to my dad, to me. It's hard to find that yeah. compassion. But when I'm kind of taking myself and my emotions out of it, like I do feel bad. Like you had, like she had a very shitty life. But when you look at why it was so shitty, it was her decision making, right?
Oh, yeah, like, absolutely.
So it's like, okay, you put yourself in this mess. Like literally, you fuck around, you find out, right? Like that's how these things go. So it's like, I do feel empathy that, you know, she felt like she was in a position that she had to make such shitty life decisions. Right. So I feel like some trickling of empathy, but it's very limited. And I feel bad because I really pride myself on being a very deeply, like I have a lot of empathy for a lot of people. And I yeah. feel like I'm not even being myself by not having empathy for this person or not having very much because of what she's done. But on yeah. the other hand, I think I'm valid for not like,
well, I would almost argue that in a lot of sense that what she's doing is evil.
Yeah.
And it's not like lawful evil, but it's like malicious evil because yeah. she's doing something to better herself, get more power, and took advantage of somebody that had her trust decades ago and then gained the trust back again to whatever extent it was, and then effectively murdered him, was also triangulating, isolating him from his family, especially you. It is late, right? If you guys understand anything about narcissists or abusers, they will isolate you from your family and friends so that you maintain in their world state. And that's what he did with your father. That's what she did with your father, to isolate him, made him afraid to contact his own loving daughter.
Yeah.
And yeah. she did that to him. Especially when in the last couple of months, and did all these things to change his life around to further, and I think speed up his untimely death, even though he was already well.
He was a sick old, the boy was all very sick.
Yeah, very sick. COPD, yeah. Cancer.
The boy was things. Sick. Yeah, he yep. was very
but
sick.
But it was accelerated very quickly. So I would argue that she is evil.
Yeah, she was giving him alcohol and things he wasn't supposed to have with his medications, or maybe she was messing with his medication somehow. I don't know. I just have always felt that, especially since my dad had told me that the doctors had estimated that he had until the spring to live. So why did he die like 6 weeks after he... Well, signed actually, I would say it was probably more like 8 weeks after he was diagnosed, he died.
Yeah. And also like within a month of him signing his new will.
6 weeks. Yeah. 6 weeks after the will, he died. And it was just very... very surreal, very weird. Yep. And now, yeah, it's just...
And that's why we say, folks, get a trust. Because when you have a trust, you have other people, I can't remember, the trustees, not the trustees, but I think the trusters or something like that, who cannot be the beneficiaries. They cannot be designated as beneficiaries to make changes to the trust on who will be the trustees, who will receive the stuff from a family member's passing.
I feel like my dad, if he had been aware of that, he would have done that. But I also feel like he was so sick, you know, like I can't.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of his cognitive functioning and like togetherness essentially was missing because he was so sick and had been so sick for so long.
Yeah.
So I feel like if he had been in his normal state of mind, he would have done something like that. And I think Nadine did everything she could to prevent any of that, like the isolation, everything. And it's horrible. Like when you really think about everything she did, it's just, it is evil. Like I own that I think she's evil, but then there's a part of me that's like, oh, Simone, have a little, you know, empathy for someone. But it's like, it's hard, you know, it's really hard for me to have empathy for this person that I think is like totally evil. And not only did she do horrible things to my dad, she's doing them to me and my sister and like my mom by extension, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, she's continuing to do really horrible things to people. So I don't know, like who knows what consequences she'll face in, you know, this life or beyond. I do believe in karma and like, you know, consequences. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know how she can escape those consequences because I filed so many reports.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I got the receipt. Like, furthermore, I have the receipt. So she tries to accuse me of things every now and then. And I'm just like, well... where's the receipt, babe? And there is no receipt. So like, okay, good luck.
Good luck, people. Ah, well, thank you, Simone, for these lovely updates and letting us know what's going on and revealing the name to the world, at least the first name, and letting us know how you're doing. We really do care and love you as a good friend and a person Aww. That we've been following. So, yes.
I appreciate that. I really do love everyone. And like I say, I'm in a really shitty place, but like I'm in the best place to be like in a shitty place because I have such a good support network. I have a lot of people that like care and like constantly show me that they care, like through words, actions, deeds. So I really appreciate it. I'm hoping to be like feeling better because apparently I'm going through like litigation grief cycle. So like bear with me through litigation grief cycle. But it's also coming up on like my dad's birthday and the second anniversary of his death. So I'm prepared to just be like, you know, a mess. So
it's okay. That's why you have your lawyers and your therapists and your support network.
I haven't seen my therapist in a while. Oh,
I haven't either. I probably need to go.
I'm like, oof. Well, it's because like, you know, my work schedule like changed and then I like asked them like, oh, can I reschedule this? And then they never got back to me. So I just was like, okay, I guess I'm not going to therapy for a while. But I mean, I feel like I've been doing okay, but I really do appreciate having that knowledge of litigation grief cycles because I feel like that just like makes so much sense to me and makes me realize like, okay, like I'm not like losing my marbles. Like there's an actual grief cycle for like the end of litigation because it's been years. Yep. It's been, you know, it's been, I always jokingly call it the dance of the dragons, like, you know, Game of Thrones, you know, House of the Dragon kind of shit, because that's what it kind of is and feels like. So yeah. But thank you everyone for listening and continuing to be invested. I am hoping to have more information about the other lawsuit soon. I actually have to send some documents and get some stuff squared away first. And it's been on my end. They called me and they're like, hey, where is this stuff? And I'm like, yikes, I have to get things notarized. I haven't been able to do that yet. So it's all on me, but I will get it done. And I'll have more information, and then I will keep everyone updated about the MetLife letter and anything else, I guess, Nadine does. It's honestly like refreshing to be able to say her name on the podcast, because sometimes it's like hard. Like I've been paranoid. I'll like slip, which I don't think I have.
I don't think we slipped either. We're very fairly careful. I think maybe there may one or two times, but
yeah.
Well, so it's out there now. So, hey.
It's out there now, but like, spoiler alert, I did slip once, but I don't think anyone caught on or noticed it. So, the episode where we play the taped police interview where Nadine's just going off the rails, she says her name in the middle of the recording, and I totally forgot to like bleep that part out. But at the same time, when you listen to it, you can't, unless you know it's her name, you can't really tell what she's saying. Cause I've listened to that like 1,000 times, like, oh God, is it really obvious? And it's really not unless you know what her name is. So I don't know if y'all want to go back and have a listen, that's up to you. But we haven't slipped up, but yeah, her name is Nadine, and that's who she is. She is, yeah, evil person. But with that, we will let you all enjoy a lovely evening or morning wherever you are. We are in the United States on Pacific Standard Time, so it's like 8:15, and Tony and I have had a really long day, so we're like really tired. Like we're ready for bed. So we hope you all have a great week, and we'll be back with more content soon. I'm not giving this up. I enjoy it so much, but yeah, it's just been a little difficult lately, but I hope you all have a good night. Take care. Bye.